It was last year sometime. We were looking at Philippians chapter 4, and we didn't get as far as verse 8. And I said, well, eventually I'm going to get back to it. Well, this morning we're going to get back to it. So it'll be Philippians chapter 4. And I'll go over just a little bit of it and a few thoughts we had on it. And I'm not going to guarantee how long we'll be here this morning, but it'll be as long as the Lord would have us here. So that's what we're going to look at. First thing I want to do is go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless His Word. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we'll just come to You this morning just thanking You for all the blessings You've given us, Lord. Just thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your people coming to meet together, Lord, to worship in spirit and in truth, Lord. We want to pray that You'll just touch Your Word, Lord, because we know it's Your Word that does the effect, Lord. It's not the speaker, but it's Your Word, Lord. And we thank You for it and pray, Lord, You to give me the words to speak, Lord, that You'll speak through me. Lord, help me with my reading. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, will just listen to Your Word, apply it to our lives, and go out and others will see You in our lives. We love You and thank You for all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say rejoice. And this is something that one of the reasons I started right here was at work on my production reports, I'll put a little verse at the top, and usually it's this one. You know, I'll put either rejoice in the Lord or praise the Lord or something about the Lord on my production reports. And anyway, the guy that picks them up, you know, me and him fellowship. You know, we've been studying on fellowship, and that's something that me and him do a lot. So that's something I always put a little note there for him, something to brighten his day a little bit, because he picks up my production reports. But anyway, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because if we look at rejoicing, not just in the high times, but in the low times. When we're going through the valleys, we still rejoice in the Lord, because whatever we're doing, whatever the circumstances are, God is in control. So we need to rejoice in the Lord because we're going through this to learn to walk closer with Him that we may help others. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then King James says, your moderation. And we think about this. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this. Verse 8 is the text we want to get to. But I want us to, you know, just working our way up to it. But let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, watch how you carry yourself. Watch how you do your motives, the way you do things. The Lord is, you know, throughout the Bible it tells us the Lord is at hand. Well, He is at hand. You know, we don't know whether He's coming back today, right now, or a year from now, or 10 years, or 100 years. You know, we don't know when He's coming back, but be ready. Always looking for Him. All right, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is one we spent a lot of time on, just looking at being anxious for nothing, and how, you know, it's a sin to worry. But a lot of times we do. I've had problems with my hip for about a month. And I was, you know, me and Ellie talked about it. People at work talk about it. You know, it had me walking funny. It had me walking like, you know, like an ape or something, because my hip wouldn't move. And everybody kept saying, go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Said, you know, I'm worried about your hip. And that was the main word. Everybody kept saying, I'm worried about your hip. And I was getting to the point, and I said, well, I'm very concerned about my hip. I said, I was asking other people to pray for it. And day before yesterday, and it, you know, only thing I can account to it is the Lord blessing it. Because I was having problems with my feet hurting real bad, or having problems with my hip hurting real bad. And the day before yesterday, it's like it just almost went completely away. Every now and then I step a certain way, I feel it, you know. But for the main part, I'm walking normal. Things are starting to move right. And I said, the Lord's healing it, you know. And I want to give glory to God. Because, you know, we pray and we think about the things that we're going through, and it's to give God glory. You know, yeah, my hip hurt me a lot and had me very concerned. But I knew that God is a great physician. I even talked to a guy at work about it, and he said, you need to go to the doctor. I said, I did. I went to the great physician. I said, I talked to him about it. He's going to work on it for me. I said, well, you know, I know that God works through our doctors, you know, but we need to go to him first, not last. Don't make him our last resort. People look at it that way. They'll say, everything else has failed. I guess I'll pray about it. You know, no, praying's the first thing you should do about it, you know. All right, it says, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, if we do these things, if we approach life, you know, being anxious for nothing and thankful as we pray and request things, being thankful ahead of time in all things, you know, that God will just put that peace that passes all understanding on us. All right, and verse 8, and the heading I have here says, meditate on these things. And that's what my lesson is about, is meditating. I talked to one guy at work, and I asked him about, you know, I quoted a few verses for him that I was looking at. And I told him, I said, well, I'm meditating on meditating. I said, if you got any verses, go along with that. I said, share them with me. And he said, okay. He never did get back with me, but I kept looking at it and kept thinking about it, and I kept meditating on meditating, because that's what we're looking at this morning, is meditating on God's Word and meditating on the things that we should be meditating on. Anyway, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and God of peace will be with you. And the reason I went ahead and connected that verse with it is because if we're doing these things, if we're meditating on the honest things, the true things, the noble things, the just things, the lovely things, the things that are of good report, things that are praiseworthy. You know, if we're doing this, then others can look at us and follow our steps because we're following Christ. You know, it ain't that they're following us, but they're following us because we're following Christ. So they're following Christ. All right. looking at John MacArthur. A few comments he made. He says, be anxious for nothing. He says, fret and worry indicate a lack of trust in God's wisdom, sovereignty, and power. Delighting in the Lord and meditating on His Word are a great antidote to anxiety. He says, all difficulties are within God's purposes. When we think about that, whatever comes your way has to be filtered through God. Because God is in control of all things. All right. I'm going to read some notes he has on the word true. He says that what is true is found in God. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. He says in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God. And so you don't have to turn to them, but you can if you'd like to. And here's the verses stating that what is true is found in God is 2 Timothy 2:25. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. So it's through God they acknowledge the truth. All right, it says, what is true is found in Christ in Ephesians 4:20-21. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in him, in Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So we know that the truth is in Christ because he is the truth. All right, it says that what is true is found in the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So it's the Holy Spirit that's showing you the truth and the things to come, and he's guiding you in all ways of truth. It says God's word, what is true is found in God's word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right. I'm going to look at a few verses talking about meditating. Well, before I go there, I'm going to head that in a few minutes. I'm going to read some verses that actually talk about truth, being noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. First, Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So if we're putting away lying and speaking the truth with our neighbors, you know, we are together in one accord. All right. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So he's talking there about, you know, being honest. All right, Deuteronomy 16:20 says, that which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mightest live and inherit the land which the Lord God giveth thee. So he's saying that, you know, things that are just, that's what we follow. First Thessalonians 5:22 said, abstain from all appearance of evil. And this is what Aunt Nanny was mentioning a couple of weeks ago. And that kind of sums it all up. It's such a short verse. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, if we're really following God, he's going to show us that, you know, that Holy Spirit will guide you in all ways of truth. Well, that all ways of truth is going to show you what is evil, even the appearance of evil. So we know to avoid it. All right, James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'll get it out in a minute. All right. Now, we're talking about the Word of God. The Word true, we said, was found in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and in God's Word. All right, the word noble, the Greek term means worthy of respect. Believers are to meditate on whatever is worthy of awe and adoration. The sacred as opposed to the profane. So we should search after things that are sacred and abstain from those that are profane. All right, the word just says, this refers to what is right. The believer is to think in harmony with God's divine standard of holiness. So when we're thinking of something that is just, we should think of God's standard of holiness. All right, what is pure? That which is morally clean and undefiled. So, you know, when we think of that, thinking it is pure, you know, first thing I think of is like water. When you get contaminated water, Kent's always watching these survivor shows, and they're talking about collecting what they're trying to get pure water to drink. They'll get water that's contaminated, and they'll take it and boil it and, you know, make it drinkable. You know, but here, what he's talking about pure, he's talking about holy. He's talking about things that are, that God makes pure. When God makes something pure, it's pure indeed. All right, lovely. He said the Greek term means pleasing or amiable. He said by implication, believers are to focus on whatever is kind or gracious. On the words of good report, that which is highly regarded or thought well of, it refers to what is generally considered reputable in the world, such as kindness, courtesy, and respect for others. And, you know, and when we look at this stuff, this is the way we should carry ourselves. This is the way we should do. If we expect others to look to us, turn to Christ, this is the things that we should do. All right, now I'm going to look at verses that talk about meditating. And the first one, of course, is going to be Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And, you know, I think of that all the time. As we meditate on God's word, we should do it day and night. We should do it all the time. When God at work was talking about, as we meditate, the first thing that comes to mind is where he tells us to pray always, pray continuous, pray without ceasing. So when we're meditating, we should also be praying. And as we're praying, we think of him saying, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, so in order to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we have to study. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, so we tell him, in order to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we have to study and we have to pray. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. You know, so we seek that word. We study, we meditate, we just try to absorb, try to eat the word. You know, what was it saying, Isaiah? You know, we digest it. We get hungry for the word. And we get more of it in us. And as we get to looking at this, you'll see that what you take in is what comes out. What you bring into your system is what you're going to talk about, what you're going to think about. And always remember that our thinking process, our conscience, that's a filter. You know, and we should always compare our thoughts with the Word of God, you know, making sure that it lines up. All right, now I'm going to finish the verse. Start off, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, so when we read God's word, when we meditate on it, you know, we should try to strive to do that. All right, it says, for then thou shalt make thy word prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know, people want to be successful, and people want to do good, and people want God to bless them, and, you know, going in and going out, you know, as the Bible says, above and beyond, abundantly, pressed down, flowing over. You know, they always want God's blessings. But what does he tell us? You know, meditate on his word day and night. Constantly focus on him. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added unto you. Instead of seeking the other things that's added unto you, seek God. You know, and that's how he'll bless you. But anyway, that's what this verse is talking about. If you want to be prosperous, don't seek prosperity, seek God. All right, Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2, and you can read the whole chapter there, and it's about this. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And that's the Christian. That's what we do, meditate on God's word day and night. Psalms 4 and verse 4 is stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And I thought about that, you know, stand in awe. Because we look at God and His holiness, and we're at awe. We're, you know, this is Almighty God. This is the one, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator, the one who holds everything together, and we're in awe. And He says, and sin not. You know, when we look at who God is and that He is perfect, He says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Seeing how perfect He is, we're in awe, and we should strive to be like that. Strive to sin not. Then He says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And I think of the verse, be still and know that I am God. We see Him in awe. We see how great He is. We meditate on it. And a lot of times it is when you're going to bed. You know, thinking of our thoughts and thinking of going to bed, you can put this through a test. If you'll watch something on TV and go to bed, you're going to wake up thinking of what you watched on TV. Are you going to, a lot of times it's what you hear on the radio. You're going to wake up with that tune in your mind or that song or the words, or you might dream about it. Now, people talk about, oh, I had this awful dream. And usually you can relate it to what you saw or what you heard or what you done. That come in is what come out. That you come in is what you dreamed about, what you thought about, what you meditated on. Because you went over it in your mind and that's what stuck. Or you can pray and meditate on God's Word. And a lot of times, you know, you're laying in the bed and you don't have the light on. But what does He say? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual, you know, just constantly thinking about Scripture. You don't have to have the light on and your Bible open to go over the Scriptures. You can go over them in your mind. And it don't have to be the long ones. You know, you can think of little ones like Jesus wept, and then why did He weep? You know, why did He cry? You think about the process of things. It don't have to be a long verse, but you think about, you know, what's it teaching? What is God's Word teaching? And through all the Bible, you think about even something as simple as this, is meditate on the Word day and night. And you say, Lord, this is what I'm doing. This is what You tell me to do. And you pray God's Word. You know, so a lot of people think, well, you don't think God knows His own Word? Yeah, He knows His Word, but He wants you knowing it. You know, He tells us to meditate on it. Tells us to read it and remember it and study on it. Meditate on it. I meant to ask Sister Diane about how to pronounce a certain word, but I'm going to get to it in a minute and I'm going to pronounce it anyway. I think it's muse, but anyway, you're musing over something. You're meditating on it. You're thinking of it, you know. Anyway, that's what He wants us to do, and that's what we do. Psalms 19 and verse 14 says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, and that's what we pray as we meditate and as we think and as we go over His word. What we're doing, we just pray that God, it'll be acceptable in His sight. That's what He meant when He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. He said, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or if you're rightly dividing the word of truth and you're studying on it, you're doing it not to impress others, not to impress, you know, you're doing it because you want to impress God. You want to be acceptable to Him. You want Him to accept what you're doing, and you're not doing it, you know, because you're not going to make God. God is lacking nothing. You know, and we always get in this conversation about, you know, God creating man, and people think it was, I even heard it this week, talking about, well, because He was lonely, I said, God is in need of nothing or He wouldn't be God. You know, He didn't do it because He's lonely. He done it because it pleased Him. You know, it pleased Him to do so. And we don't question what pleases God. What pleases God pleases God. And meditating on His Word, His people meditating on His Word pleases Him. So that's the point we want to look at this morning. All right, Psalms 39:3 says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Like I said earlier, what you think about, what you muse over, what you study over, what you meditate over, what's going through your mind is what your conversation is going to be. That's what you're going to talk about. That's what you're going to think about. That's what, you know, and like I said, you can test it in your own life. And, it, you know, it don't have to be something evil, but you can think of something watching a movie, and then when you get to, I can give you a good example of it. Last of the Dog Men is a movie about some Indians, Cheyenne Indians. And I saw it, Matthew was watching it. It's been years ago, but Matthew was watching it. And I come in and I said, "What are you watching there?" And he told me about it. And I sat down and got to watch it. Next thing you know, I watched the whole movie. And then I got to watching for whenever it would come back on, I'd watch it again. You know, it was just a real good movie. But the day after I watched that, went to work, and a guy at work watched that movie. And me and him got to talking about the movie, and, you know, that's what we were thinking about, what was on our mind, you know. So it don't always have to be God's Word, but that's what we're talking about today, is meditating on God's Word so that that will be in your heart and that will be on your mind. But that's proof. What you watch, what you think, what you, you know, hear, those things are what's on your mind. A lot of times you get to hearing things that's not of God, and I guess the devil tries to make you think that it's acceptable. You know, you say, "Well, you know, I hear it all the time. I hear that, you know, you hear God's name in vain. You hear people cussing and carry on, and it almost becomes like, well, you know, that's just them. Just let it go, you know." But it gets acceptable, and it's really not. You know, it's still sin. It's still against God. All right. Psalms 63 and verse 5, it says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." You know, and that's what we should do. If we'll, you know, listen to God's word, read it, meditate on it, think about it, you know, you have Christian music to listen to. I've been riding in a car that don't have a radio, and I really miss listening to the radio now. You know, I've been, my car's been tore up, and the one I've been driving don't have a radio. So, you know, usually I'll tell you stuff that Mike Kellogg said, and different songs come up that I like, and, you know, but I haven't been able to hear that. And I do notice a difference. Used to, you know, some of those songs would, when I'd wake up in the mornings, would be on my mind. You know, the tunes and the thought, you know. Then when I hear, you know, what they say, secular music, then that's what's on my mind. That's what I'll hear, and that's what I'll think about. You know, but it's proof that what's on your mind, what you put in, is what your mind brings back to remembrance. All right, Psalm 73 and verse 12 says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastised every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein." You know, you see people prospering that are ungodly, and you see people, you know, you say, "Well, why do they have all this? And here I am struggling and trying to please God." And, you know, but it's when we get in here. It's when we, you know, I say it's good to be in the house of the Lord, because we come in here and we get away from the world and we see that, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, they've got all this. Well, that's their treasure. That's their reward. That's all they're got. That's all the goodness they're going to get. But look what we have. We have Jesus Christ from here on out through eternity. We have heaven awaiting us. We have mansions with streets of gold. We have all the Bible tells us, you know, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. And all throughout, you know, all that we've got to look forward to. What do they have to look forward to? Gnashing of teeth, pain, you know, intense, just sorrowful, just awful, you know, because they don't have God. I'd much rather be in our situation. So, you know, we go through trials and tribulations and struggles, you know, But we know that God is going to bring us through it. And we know that when we get through it, we can look back and be pleased that, you know, we serve a living God. And that He's bringing us through it. All right, Psalm 77 and verse 10 says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." It says, "I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of thy doings." There's what I was talking about earlier. If we meditate on the things that God's doing, that's what we'll talk about. If we meditate on what God's doing in our lives, that's what we'll talk about. Well, like I said, with my hip, people at work would see me limping and see me struggling to work. And then the next day, I'm walking fine. And they said, "You know, what happened?" I prayed and had other people praying, and God's doing a work. God is healing it. God is taking the pain away. I said, because there's nothing I've done different. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything but pray about it and get other people praying about it. And the Lord's relieving me of the pain, you know. So I thought of the things that God done and I talked about it. And that's the things that we should do. You know, think of what we do, what God's doing. You know, He says, let your request be made unto God. He said, but pray about it, thankfully. You know, be thanking Him while we're praying. All right, I'm going to skip that and move on to Psalms 139:17. "How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." You know, we think about our thoughts, the God's thoughts about us. He says they're more than the sand, the grains of sand, you know. And you can't count them. They're uncountable. Nobody could do it. You know, it's not possible. And we think about that. That's how much God thinks about us. And that's the way we should be thinking about Him. You know, is our every thought. We should be thinking about Him. Everything that goes through our mind, our meditation should be on Him. Psalms 143 and verse 5 says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." So it's meditating again. He said, "I muse on the works of thy hands. I meditate on what He's doing. I think about what He's doing." And, you know, as we go through life and we see the struggles and trials and tribulations and all that we're going through, think about God and say, I've heard Mike Kellogg say, "Well, Lord, what are you doing? Let me be involved with it today." Even though it may be some struggle, it may be something we go through and we're not looking forward to it, but we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We see something, you know, and that's what we can attribute to God and glorify in it and tell other people, you know, "I may be going through this, but I see God's working in the end. I see God's going to bring me through it. It is God." You know, it's always about God, always meditating and pointing and directing to Him, that others will see that God is moving in our lives and that God is real. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And I'm gonna stop right there. If we think about that, as long as we're looking for Christ to come every day, knowing that it could be at any time, let's continue to read. Let's continue to exhort. Let's continue to learn His word and His doctrine and all that He has for us. All right, in closing, I'm going to say, what we put into our minds determines what comes out in our words and actions. Paul tells us to fill our minds with thoughts that are true, good, and right. Do you have problems with impure thoughts and daydreams? You know, I think about where Paul said in Romans, he said, "Even when I do good, evil is present with me." Have you ever been praying and have something just off the wall come into your mind? You know, that's what he's talking about here. And that's why I said other things, you know, can be praying and lose your train of thought. Just be I've done that, but the Lord even knows our uttering. He even knows when we're praying for something, and you know, we forget that exact thing that we were praying for. We're still praying in general, you know. And then when Mama was praying the other day, and you know, I always she got me started with praying from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Well, I'll pray for her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, you know, and for all of you too, also. I said, but she was praying the other day, and she was going in detail. She was going about your eyes and your nasal and your throat and your knees and your elbows and your, you know, she was naming them off, going in detail, just working from the top to the bottom. I'm like, I was amazed. I said, but you know, that's something we should do. You know, pray for each other and go in detail and think about, you know, we pray for Aunt Paula, pray for her eyes, pray for her vision, pray for, you know. And we also pray for that God would just continue to bless her, you know, spiritually. And that's the first thing, you know, when I was talking about in general, a lot of times we pray for spiritually, financially, and physically. You know, we should start naming it like that. Then we should get in detail with those things. You know, if we know somebody's struggling with a certain area, pray for that certain area. Yeah. And goes along with just praying always, being in prayer constantly. All right, it says, examine what you are putting into your mind through television, through books, through movies, through music, through magazines, and your company. You know, who you're having company with, who you're keeping, you know, as your friends, and people you talk to, and people you relate with. And the reason I say this is, like I said earlier about the language. You hear people say stuff, and you hear it so much that it becomes okay. You know, well, sometimes you'll, even though, I've thought something, and I said, well, I'm not going to say that. I don't even talk like that. You know, but their words would come to my mind. I'm like, I don't even talk like that. I ain't about to say that. You know, it's not like, and it would be an accident, you know, just a, not that I was wanting to say a cuss word, but be a word that sounded like that and made you think of that, you know, and it's because you're hearing that, you know, and that's why those words would come to your mind. Okay, it says, replace harmful input with wholesome material. Above all, read God's word and pray. Ask Him to help you focus your mind on what is good, what is pure. He says, remember, your conscience is your filter. Compare your thoughts with the Word of God.